Though James Brown claims the title, it could easily be said that B.B. King is actually the hardest working man in show business. The 77-year-old diabetic still plays more than 200 shows a year. That's down from the more than 300 shows a year King performed for much of his career. And he's been doing it for more than half a century. With multiple Grammy Awards, honorary degrees from Yale University and the Berklee College of Music, and a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you'd think King could chill. But he told NPR's Tom Cole during a break before a show outside Washington, D.C., that he doesn't want to take it easy.
B.B. King says he likes to fish, but he wouldn't want to do it 200 and some days a year. Playing music is another matter.
I do it because I enjoy it. There was a time when I did it because I had to. People didn't play my records, so if I didn't take the music to the people, I would never get heard, never get known.
Today, B.B. King is known around the world as the King of the Blues. For people who own just one blues record, odds are it's a B.B. King record. But when the teenaged King started performing on the streets of his hometown, Indianola, Mississippi, he wanted to be a gospel singer.
And people that would request a gospel song would always praise me. They'd say, hey, son, you're good. You sound good. But they didn't ever put anything in the hat. But people that would ask me to sing a blues would praise me, pat me on the head, and they'd always put something in the hat. Give the boy something. You see him singing? Boy, you're all right. You sound good.
Now it is 3 o'clock in the morning. Can't even close my eyes.
Right after B.B. King scored his first R&B hit with the 3 O'Clock Blues in 1952, he put together a band and hit the road. They traveled by bus. They called it Big Red. And despite all of the honors, King and his band still travel by bus, though now they have two, one for King and one for the band. Bill Ferris, a professor of history and folklore at the University of North Carolina and former chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities, says the bus both ties King to his past and provides a pretty smooth ride.
It's like a mobile home in an extraordinary way. You carry with you a kind of familiar environment, pictures, your favorite CDs, videos, and in what is obviously a very stressful life that he has lived for decades. You can kind of slip away after a concert and relax and have your own private world there immediately and really not emerge until your next concert. I've been in his bus several times, and you're met at the door. There's a valet and someone helping with serving drinks and food, and it's the good life.
And though the ride is certainly a lot smoother these days, life is maybe only a little less hectic than it was for a young man trying to put his music in as many ears as possible in late 1940s Memphis.
Yes, I'm sitting here thinking.
By July of 1949, with his first record under his belt, B.B. King was on the air at Memphis station WDIA, at first playing a song or two live, then hosting his own show, where he hawked a cure-all elixir called Pepticon. He still remembers the jingle he came up with.
Pepticon show is good. Pepticon show is good. Pepticon show is good. You can get it anywhere in your neighborhood.
And B.B. King says he learned a lot about music during his days in Memphis, from the older DJs at WDIA and from the young musicians he hired for his band.
I used to get very popular guys today that was in school at that time to work with me. For example, I had George Coleman, the great jazz sax today, Hank Crawford, the great arranging sax today, Academia, a lot of others that worked with me during that time. And I think one of the reasons they liked to work with me is because I paid well. But God almighty, my musicianship was awful. For example, if I was playing a 12-bar blues, I think about the fifth bar you should change. You know, if you're in one, you go to four, and then finally to five. But I play 12-bar and then maybe change. Well, great musicians, that's hard on them. So they would, you know, really, I'm talking about... truly try to help me. I sat up there like a big black idiot, you know. But I'm having fun then. But they wasn't. So finally, they got me to where I did pretty good. Then they loved playing with me.
King Music School has extended beyond the members of his band. He's learned from musicians all over the world. The 77-year-old has been to more than 90 countries, an experience that's reflected in the record and book collection he gave to the University of Mississippi when Bill Ferris was there.
That collection is fascinating. It's sort of like going through Faulkner's library to see what he was reading as he wrote. In the case of B.B., what was perhaps most interesting were records on language. Because when he travels, he tries to learn at least a little of the language of the country in which he's traveling. So you see an artist constantly reaching out, constantly learning and broadening his own horizon within this collection, which is an extraordinary body of material.
B.B. King still credits radio with being one of his best tutors. He says it taught him how to connect with an audience.
Radio helped me a lot. There's an audience. I can't see them, but I know they're there. I can't reach out and touch them with my hand, but I know they're there. I like to feel that I had long rubber arms that I can reach around the audience, and I can sway back and forth, and the people would do that with me. And that's when I thought I was doing a pretty good show.
B.B. King is back on the bus, headed for another show tonight in Pompano Beach, Florida. Tomorrow, he's in Lakeland. On the 29th, it's Pensacola. He plays Lake Buena Vista on the 30th. Tom Cole, NPR News, Washington.